Mam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're having lots of program for people who are buying houses. And the principle of spiritual progress in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very nice section after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becomes delivered from being a hard-hearted, super-scholar, impersonalist rascal to becoming a soft-hearted, highly devoted follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by his association with him for 7 days. Anyway, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being very scholarly, wrote some verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya, which our disciplic succession has appreciated until today, that they're outstanding verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. One of the theme messages of that dedicatory pranam, or glorification of Lord Chaitanya, is that he taught devotion as well as detachment from pursuit of material happiness. Because the opposite of a life of spiritual connection is a life of pursuing happiness through fruitive activities. I was in a mood some time ago of saying over and over and over and over and over and over, so it would like sink in. I'll say it another time. Prabhupada taught that one of the primary duties of a spiritual master is to thoroughly instruct the disciple about the absolute futility of finding happiness through fruitive activities. You've all heard that one before. So it's contradictory to go buy a bunch of houses and pretend that by doing this we're making advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's not, but it's not that then just don't buy a house and you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. No, but it's not damned if you do and damned if you don't. It's not, you're stuck in a bind where you can't go this way and you can't go that way. There's a false sense of this detachment. What's the phrase that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used? Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak puranam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari is how it ends. He's accepted this form of Chaitanya, Sharira Dhari. And he came to teach devotion with detachment. Devotion is attachment. And real detachment is attachment to Krishna. Real detachment is attachment to Krishna. So it's not just a philosophical, you know, when you get like really curious about things, you get wax philosophical a little bit, and then you start thinking, well, let me do something philosophical for a little bit. And then you go back to pursuing happiness through fruitive activities. There's a deep sense of the message of devotion that says that complete devotion involves a very particular kind of detachment or renunciation. And the phrase that has been ascribed to Lord Chaitanya is the detachment that comes from engagement in devotional service, yukta vairagya, detachment from engaging in devotional service. So when you engage in devotional service, there's things that you're engaging in devotional service, like your body, and the senses, and the objects of the senses. This is the literal meaning of bhakti, bhajate, yo mam, Bhagavad Gita. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam, samayukta tamo mataha. By engaging the senses with the object of the senses, because the impersonalist is to withdraw the senses, period. Like karma sannyas. Just don't do anything. Go to a cave and meditate. Withdraw your senses. Don't just disengage from the world and be situated in Brahman and be happy doing nothing. But being situated in Brahman, very boring. The happiness, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So the true happiness, the natural happiness of the soul is we do things in happiness. There's variegatedness in life without attachment. It's an enigma. It's a puzzle. Happiness, in variegated experiences of happiness, contacting varieties of things without attachment. Happiness without attachment. It's like, go stop. Varieties of happiness without attachment. And it's a puzzle. Without the understanding of what bhakti really is, and when there is an understanding, a practical application understanding of what bhakti really is, there's a very clear sense of how to deal with stuff, you know, the world, the trees and the world in which we live. How do we, in devotion, interact with the world in which we live? Like, you know, work and friendship and stuff, you know, a home and children and education of children and, you know, things that people do, arts and music and drama, and how do you, you know, doing stuff, living in the world with variegated happiness without any attachment. It's a puzzle. Without Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. You're going to be hearing lots of Brahma Samhita verses from me because I. Just as we were chanting in there, because I've been preparing, I've been preparing for the Brahma Samhita seminar. I had a 13-hour flight from. Doha, thank you. Still having jet lag experience. So I thought, what am I going to do in it? So the way it worked for me, at least, is I have a project. I just absorb myself so much in the project, time just flies. Fortunately, there was electricity, so my computer could keep running. And I just spent the whole time with Brahmasamhita, 13 hours. I didn't even sleep. It was just, that's partly why I'm a little jet-lagged now. Just immersion in Sri Brahmasamhita. It was so nice. No phone calls, no... Maharaj, you have 2 minutes? I want to talk with you about something. There are four verses 32 through 35, in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, these four verses are to assist people that have doubts about the transcendental nature of Krishna. How can it be true that he is like this? That his form is like this? That his pastimes are like this? That his abode is like this? How can it be? It must be some exaggeration, or a bunch of devotees got together and kind of got wound up and made these exaggerated statements about Krishna. They got really enthusiastic and carried away and made hyperbolic things, glorification of Krishna. So those that may have that doubt, because they're using the measuring sticks of matter, those four verses are to explain how Krishna does what he does and how it is that Krishna is what he is. So when there's statements of his pastimes or the beauty of Krishna or the charming flute playing of Krishna, it's not just, you know, some exaggeration or some poetic expression. It's how Krishna is what he is. And same with renunciation that goes along with bhakti. Not some exaggeration. When bhakti is genuinely awakened, then there is a way that persons interact with matter, with the world around us. And so I wanted to discuss that. There's two. Rupa Goswami, one of the many, there's multiple key and classic verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, where it teaches the principle, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wrote about Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Nija Bhakti Yoga. On the strength of Bhakti Yoga, there is knowledge and detachment. That's what the Bhagavatam tells us, isn't it? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janiyata Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yadahaitukam. Causelessly, Ahaitukam. Causelessly, knowledge and detachment. Awaken, arise within the person who becomes attracted to devotion to Vasudeva, Krishna. Bhagavatam teaches like that. And like not only a cow, but a Sorabhi cow, Lord Chaitanya milks the wonderful Bhagavatam and explains even beyond, up to the stage of Raja Prema, the type of love that he wanted to give was that love where it's just ecstatic devotion. And when there's ecstatic devotion, the detachment takes on a very different form. There's a nice section, some of you are sure familiar, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the description of the Hara Panchami festival. After Lord Jagannath leaves the Jagannath temple, gets on his Rath Yatra cart and goes down the grand road to the Gundicha temple, he stays there. But he left the altar, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she's upset. She wants Krishna to come back on the altar so she can be with Krishna. So they have a ceremony where the deity of Lakshmi comes off the altar. She gets on a palanquin. There's palanquin carriers, and their palanquin carriers and the servants of the goddess of fortune are all dressed up in fantastic opulence. And they have sticks in their hand, and they bring the goddess of fortune right to the Gundicha temple, and they demand that Jagannath comes back to the altar. And they start beating the servants of Lord Jagannath with their sticks. Ceremoniously, of course. Maybe they get a little carried away sometimes. But when seeing that it's a grand festivity, and seeing the festivity, Srivas Pandit starts jumping up and down, saying, "Just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune," and describes the way in which she's dressed and the palanquin and all the fantastic opulence. "Just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune, Lakshmi." And Lord Chaitanya turns to Srup Damdar and said, "What do you think? Is the opulence of Vrindavan less than the opulence of the goddess of fortune?" And he recites a series of verses that are very similar to that last verse, Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramo, that it's describing that the abode of Krishna. That's not an exaggeration, but the opulence that exists in Vrindavan far surpasses the opulence of Vaikuntha and the goddess of fortune. But the residents of Vrindavan are completely detached. Their abode is made of chintamani, wood and sheetrock, but in Vaikuntha it's jewels, but in Goloka Vrindavan, the first verse speaks of the abode of Krishna is made of chintamani. It's their building material. And the trees are wish-fulfilling trees. Every tree. You want something? But the residents of Vrindavan are going to the wish-fulfilling trees and saying, "I want a house. I want a big backyard. I want a trampoline in the big backyard." Although the wish-fulfilling trees can fulfill everything, but there's only one thing, that's the desire. And that's service to Krishna. And so that's what they get, is service to Krishna. And whatever it is that the tree delivers, it's for the service of Krishna. It's the perfection of the verse that Rupa Goswami wrote, which describes Lord Chaitanya's teaching about the spirit of renunciation, or the spirit of dealing with the world around us. And then the second companion verse is the incomplete form of that. We'll do the incomplete form of that first. Prapanchakataya bodhya hari sambandha vastana mamukshu bi pratyago vairagyam phalgu katyate. Phalgu vairagya, false renunciation or incomplete renunciation, is where hari sambandha vastuna, where vastu, objects or things or stuff that's in relation to Hari, one rejects them. And that's a type of renunciation that's not the renunciation that Lord Chaitanya taught. So he's not teaching don't buy houses. Don't have stuff. But what the teaching he does give is that the kind of renunciation where bhakti is so strong. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjitaha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagya uchate. So it's not jnana vairagya, it's yukta vairagya, where things are utilized exclusively in Krishna's service. Exclusively in Krishna's service. Not a mixture of for finding happiness through fruitive activities and, oh, by the way, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Not that one. It's a popular one, but that's not that one. That's not what he's teaching. He's teaching just one thing. And accepting those things in service to Krishna. In service to Krishna. When Srupa Damodar finished this, they're very beautiful verses glorifying Vrindavan. When he heard the glories of Vrindavan, he became very happy. He started jumping and dancing and slapping his arms and making a sound. I don't know how you do that, but... And Lord Chaitanya just laughed, because he was appreciating. Just Srupa Damodar was such a devotee of Krishna, with such love for Krishna. And he knew why there is such love for Krishna, because Krishna is so lovable. The transcendental abode of Krishna is as lovable as Krishna is. The form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, everything to do with Krishna is all attractive. He's Krishna. He's all attractive. The meaning of his name. So when one becomes attracted to the all-attractive, what's attractive about stuff? Its glitter pales. The to whatever degree there's attractiveness, it's some opportunity for service to Krishna, that's all. Because there's attachment to Krishna, and service to Krishna, that's all. Anasaktasya vishayan. Vishaya means sense gratification. Directly that language is used in Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinam. From Bhagavad Gita. Dehinam, for those who are embodied. You have one of these things. And trying to get away from vishaya when you're embodied, it's tough. Because even you try to do that, the mind will dwell on that. For those who are embodied. And that's all of us. So the solution isn't become unembodied. The solution is become attached to Krishna. So then there's a higher taste. And when there's a higher taste, one can easily give up the lesser taste. And if there isn't a higher taste, trying to become detached from the lesser taste, when all you have is the lesser taste, you're stuck. You can't go anywhere. So the solution is become attached to the higher taste, become attached to Krishna. Become attached to service to Krishna and pleasing Krishna, using the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. And it's far more satisfying. The happiness is so complete that anasaktasya vishayan. There's not attachment to sense gratification. And then this next puzzling verse, or section of the verse. Yatarham apunyunjitaha. If you have about 2 or 3 hours to spare, you can go have a conversation with Jai Jagannath about that part of the verse. According to suitability. You accept, so this is, without attachment, you accept things according to suitability. Now that's can mean lots of things. Especially if you're a speculator, it can mean lots of things. But if you're a devotee, then it kind of narrows it down a bunch. And, you know, what's suitable for one person may not be suitable for another person, may not be suitable for another person. It's very individualized. And even for that individual, there are different stages of their spiritual progress, and in their stages of spiritual progress, they may need less. I'll just say something a little commentary on youth growing up in America. One of the things that I do this less, but there was a stage when I was visiting places where I didn't know people and they didn't know me, and often, in many cases, at least, their son or daughter was off at college, commonly, you know, so their son's room was open. So I would, you know, do a home program and somewhere, and I'd stay in the room where their son stayed because he was off at college. And the classic, in the son's room, over here is a movie star, so whatever their favorite one was. Over here is a sports guy. And then it was, what's his name that was with Chicago Bulls, the basketball guy? Yeah, you know what he is. And then over here was a red sports car. Then on his nightstand was a little picture of Ganesh. Classic. And a closet full of stuff. And shoes and clothes and, you know, stuff. You know, so this is, you know, what he wanted, you know, the the worship places, and then, you know, what he wanted when he grew up is get a little red sports car. So one of the first times I went to visit in Seattle, the devotee that picked me up in a little red sports car. And I was laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. He was asking, what are you laughing about? Maharaj, what's so funny? I said, it's a classic. It's a little red sports car. You made it. You hit the jackpot. Bingo, you know. Won the lottery. Got the little red sports car. Now he's got a gray Toyota. A used one because his wife didn't want to buy a new one. So, you know, all those things, anyway, the expectations for happiness through fruitive activity is the primary program. And if there's some place for being spiritual or religious or pious or, you know, whatever the comfortable word is these days for somebody, it enriches that. It enhances the opportunity to get that. The pious, the fruits of piety will more likely be yours if you do that. That's, you know, the little picture of Ganesh over here. To get that and that and that. And then you get it, and it worked. Yay, let me keep going to the temple, at least, you know, on Janmashtami. So, when the message of the gift of Lord Chaitanya is the awakening of bhakti, to the point where my position, what is suitable for me to stay in a position where there's steadiness in my spiritual practice and my spiritual life, it's suitable for me, and I'm aspiring. This is another Jai Jagannath topic. It's aspiring to go to the next position. This is our whole discussion in Gitanagari at the retreat was acceptance and progress, not just acceptance, period, but progress. Aspiring to go to the next position. If we're not aspiring to go to the next position, if we're not advancing in Krishna consciousness, there's no stagnation in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada taught this very clearly. Either you're progressing or regressing. If you're not consciously striving to progress, the current is moving you the other direction. The tide, the flow of the river of Kali Yuga is moving very quickly in the other direction. So there must be shelter-taking, active shelter-taking in Krishna and striving to progress. Then you're protected. You're moving toward Krishna. And otherwise, complacency and you're moving downstream again. You're going with the current of Kali Yuga degradation. So striving for spiritual progress, striving to go to the next stage of transitioning to the next stage of awakening of Krishna consciousness, that's what your suitability lies. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Without bondage, so it's karma free, you know, you're not entangling yourself in acceptance of a house or acceptance of a car or acceptance of family and acceptance of according to suitability. Krishna sambandhe, recognizing these things are for the purpose of Krishna service. They're given by Krishna. They're from Krishna. They're for his service. Yuktam vairagya uchyate. Yukta vairagya. Utilizing all of that without attachment, according to suitability, in the spirit of devotion to Krishna. So that's what we're doing this evening. The acceptance of this arrangement by Krishna, you know, buying it or buying into it, into the position of that which will help me, given my position, to go further in my attachment for Krishna, my learning how to use everything in service to Krishna. There's so much strength comes from our activities of hearing and chanting, done properly, done carefully, done regularly, done thoughtfully. Progressively, further and further and further and further, our Krishna consciousness can unfold, will unfold, if we deal with the stuff in the proper consciousness, strengthened by this strong involvement, regular, careful, attentive involvement in hearing and chanting. Of course, it means kirtan, that kind of chanting, japa kind of chanting, and, you know, discussing the topics of Krishna with others, because we're going to have social interactions, so that our social interactions be in relation to topics about Krishna and how to understand something and therefore how to apply that something in such a way that our life becomes progressively illumined. Then we're on our way to Krishna. That's the gift of Lord Chaitanya. The associates of Lord Chaitanya were like that. Some had little, some had lots, and none of them were attached. And they're different. They're all varieties. All varieties. Some were so charitable that they couldn't even maintain themselves. This is Lord Chaitanya. They would have other devotees look after them so they could maintain themselves and their families. And some had great wealth, but they weren't attached to that great wealth. They would utilize that great wealth in service to Krishna. Some had next to nothing. Kolavachar Sridhar had next to nothing. But his riches was his devotion to Krishna. A devotion to Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. That was his wealth. And he was the wealthiest. He was the recipient of so much love from Lord Chaitanya. Not because he was poverty stricken, but because he was so devoted to Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. So have or have not, or whatever the circumstance, according to suitability, what matches one's condition of heart, and so that one can peacefully and progressively and steadily go on with the practices of hearing and chanting and strengthening the attachment to Krishna, the all-attractive Krishna. Rupa Goswami is teaching us how to engage in devotional service. process of devotional service, making that connection very strong, both in principle, by the teaching of the verse that I just spoke about, but then also all the other angas of bhakti, so many rich topics about Krishna to hear about and relish and appreciate and remember Krishna. So you got a big challenge ahead of you. Utilize everything in Krishna's service. So each thing, you know, there's not a bunch of furniture yet. So each thing that comes, think, you know, twice, three times, 10 times. What is the best way to utilize this space in service to Krishna? Is this going to be... So whatever it is that comes in, it's with that mindset. And then you see that something, and it's not, oh, I really like that something. Maybe I'll get another one. Or, anyway, it's for service to Krishna, purpose. That's a nice way to live. Okay, any discussion? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned activity of hearing and chanting must be done sincerely, regularly, and the third thing you said was thoughtfully. Can you expand on thoughtfully?
Thoughtfully? Well, sincerely is the heart, and regularly is either time or the modes of nature, and thoughtfully is being present while doing those things. You know, like thoughtfully chanting or thoughtfully interacting with someone, or, you know, be present. While I'm hearing, what's the message which Krishna wishes to deliver in this Bhagavad Gita? It's for me that Krishna spoke. Of course, he spoke for all of us, but he's speaking for me. What's the message which Krishna wishes to give? Like that. Be present, thoughtful when hearing Krishna's message. And then, with integrity, let me apply that. Yeah.
One more question. In Goloka Vrindavan, the desire fulfilling trees, not able to understand why it is present in Goloka Vrindavan. Because why? Everybody has the desire to serve Krishna. So why do they want to wish for more?
They don't want to. But Krishna makes it available like that. So whatever the trees supply, it's offered to Krishna, that's all. It's perfect.
Is it for attraction for our
living? No. I mean, it may be, but that's not why it is. It is because it's Goloka. That's what the spiritual world is. Everything is there. The ground, the buildings, the trees, the cows, everything is transcendental. Satyatananda vigraha, in fullness. Sandini, sambit, and ladini, everything is there. So whatever it is, it's because there's only one thing, service to Krishna, the happiness of Krishna. So everyone wants to supply the happiness of Krishna, including the trees. And the persons who are not trees, when they see the trees, they don't think, oh, this is fantastic, now I can get whatever I want. It's all the same thing. It's service to Krishna, the happiness of Krishna, the love of Krishna. Very nice place. This is a travel advertisement. Yeah, nothing. Something?
Maharaj. I wanted to ask related to accepting what is favorable for our spiritual progress in terms of facilities. So if we're able to, let's say at some stage, accept some facility for our progress, how do we avoid stagnation of just of not going deeper in what other ways we can use it to expand and keep progressing, that we get some benefit and then it sort of just levels off?
Yeah, complacency is far more common than progress. So it's the seed of the desire for service that like a seed or a spark, either a metaphor. The spark is, just you continue to fan the spark, and the fanning action is the hearing the message of Krishna. That's the fanning action. So continue in your everyday activity of hearing, and again, this thoughtfully hearing, not just okay, next, okay, next, but thoughtfully with purpose driven to strengthen my connection with Krishna. Now then, the complacency doesn't stand anymore. There's illumination. The metaphor of the seed is appropriate also, like the creeper by watering and sunlight, and then it grows. The creeper will grow, or the plant will grow. You do through the gardening, so When the atmosphere is right, by adding not too much, not too little water, then the right temperature and so forth, the plant will respond. When I first started visiting in Chicago, that place where I stay, the lounge, what do you call it?
Sannyasi quarters,
okay. Before it was a sannyasi quarters, it was something else. It was just, basically, it's the same, the masons built the temple before it was a temple. It was a mason's place. And the Brooklyn Temple was built by the same guys, the masons. So there's the same, above the temple in the Brooklyn, there's this little balcony area. So there's, we have one at the Chicago Temple. So, but different in the Chicago Temple, towards the street side, there's windows. So there was all these plants that looked really neglected. Not only looked neglected, they were neglected. So I started thinking what one of my godbrothers said. Boy, I sure hope I don't have to, if I take birth again, I don't want to become a plant in a Hare Krishna temple. Because you just get neglected. So I thought, I'm not going to neglect these plants. I'm staying here, they're staying here, so I'll take care of them. And I learned something from the plants, because they responded. They went from like... to, yay, happy. And then, devotees do the same thing, and we do the same thing. And our own creeper of devotion does the same thing. So we just attend to it, and it, becomes nice. Don't become complacent. That's one of the big risks. Now, my discomfort level has diminished. Take a little vacation from Krishna consciousness. I remember a lecture, hot summer day in July at the Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn, and Prabhupada was giving this teaching. I can physically remember the heat. And one of the messages was, it's not that if you slacken in Krishna consciousness, then there's a pause, and then you can invite Maya to come, and then Maya comes, and you fall into Maya. But rather, Prabhupada said, if you slacken, immediately Maya is there. You don't just say, okay, little break now, little Maya break. No, Prabhupada said, no. Immediately Maya is there, engaging us in illusory activity. Just become complacent. That's all it takes. Slacken in your eager submission unto Krishna. I've worked very hard. I've done so many things. I need a little break. Immediately Maya's there. Engaging one in something foolish. And then some regret, so I did something foolish. I'll get back to being Krishna conscious again. But the bhoga tyaga symptom of the mind is, we're very, very conditioned to it. It's just built into our system. And we structure our lives accordingly. We select a job that allows us a certain amount of vacation. And, at least here in the West, it's 5 days work and 2 days, weekend. This is like standard. In China, it's 6 days. And most people, it's 7 days. But at least, many people, it's 7 days. But at least it's for sure 6 days. Just that they're very intense working people. But, they got to have the break. Anyway, complacency is built into how we structure our lives. And for devotees, we require time for hearing and chanting and time for nurturing the devotional creeper. But it's something that we do nityam bhagavata sevaya. We do regularly. And then complacency doesn't rule. It's real easy for it to happen, though. Just relax. Take it easy. I deserve a break. Yes?
So suppose some of the devotees were staying in a house and they left this place. Maybe they would have chanted, there was a harikatha in the house. And they left, right? And later, some other devotee buys the same house. So do you think the whole atmosphere
sure.
will help us?
Sure.
I don't know whether you remember, you have come to this house. This is Rasamatha Jainmohan Prabhu's house.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, how nice.
You have come from the basement, many programs, you have come so many times.
Well, their whole life is a life of devotion.
Yeah. The house, I was thinking,
how would
that help?
Sure. And the house that you live in, whoever buys it next time, they'll pass, pass on Krishna consciousness to that way. But just so buy lots of houses, huh? Hey, so if it's authorized, let's go. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.